collection of shacks and shelters, and in the middle of it all was an oily cloud of smoke bespeaking a fire.
Looks like we're riding right into trouble without being able to draw breath.
Jack shielded his eyes to stare into the distance.
Do not know what hit him.
That's what I'm relying on. What we're all relying on.
They remounted the wag, and the Baron fired it up, turning and heading toward the oil well, and toward a firefight in more ways than one. As they approached the well and refinery, they could see more clearly that the thick, oily black cloud was coming not from the area of the well or the refinery buildings, but from the encampment where the workers had their shacks and settlements.
Looks like they're trying to chill each other this time, not fire the well.
Ryan winced as he flexed his battered shoulder.
Yeah, and if we're headed for action, we'd better be ready for it.
As he rotated the ball in its socket, it grated and sent a wave of pain down his arm as far as the elbow. He could think of better times for this injury than when he had a firefight in view, but what choice did he have now? As the wag jerked and bumped at high speed over the derelict concrete road, the companions checked their weapons, making sure that they were in working order after their brief sojourn with Baron Silas's set men. All weapons were loaded with cartridge, shot, or shell, and rounds were chambered ready for action, which was getting closer with every twist and turn of the road. There was no indication of where the well and refinery area actually began or ended. Ryan remembered the Baron saying that the sec force he had on site was stretched thin, but how thin was non-existent. For as far as his eye could see, there was little sign of any sec force actually standing guard over whatever passed for the perimeters of the area. Maybe they had all had to hightail it over to the area where the smoke originated. That would leave the refinery area wide open if that was a decoy. Right at that moment, he wished he could ask Baron Silas about the sec setup, but at this speed, and with the Baron in the driving seat, that was impossible. The one-eyed warrior turned to his people, all of whom had completed their weapons check, and were now perched on the bench seats, riding the twists, turns, and bucking motion of the old wag.
Okay, we don't really know what we're riding into here, but it's going to be a tough one. We don't know how many sec men Silas has in there, or whether they'll recognize us. If there's some kind of firefight going on between the different workers, then it'll be a free-for-all.
Won't be the first time, won't be the last. Anyway, where are these sec men of Silas's anyway? I haven't seen jack shit since we've gotten nearer. Anyone could move about and screw up the well.
Anyone could if they could get across this desert. But what if the trouble in the camp is a diversion? Because maybe there's some sabotage at the well or refinery.
If the sec force is that thinly stretched, that'd be the way to do it, during daylight. Maybe we could take a little diversion and have a wreck, just because.
The one-eyed man strode to the front of the wag and rapped hard several times on the roof of the cab with the butt of his stire. At first, Baron Silas ignored the constant rapping, but Ryan kept hitting the roof, cursing to himself at the stubbornness of the Baron and ignoring him. Eventually, the wag slowed, almost to a halt.
I'm coming around!
He swung himself around, wincing at the pain forced down his arm from his shoulder, to face the Baron through the window. Silas kept the engine ticking over, and the wag moving at a walking pace.
What the hell is it?
Your sec force. They'd move to sort out trouble at the camp, yeah?
That's their job. What else would...
Then if they're as thinly stretched as you say, it could be that they've left the well and refinery open to attack.
The workers there are blasters. They could hold off until...
Until what? If you're right, then they might be the ones out to wreck the well. They could be fighting among themselves even now.
Baron Silas's jaw dropped. It was an obvious assumption, but one that had momentarily escaped him in his determination to reach the camp.
Shit. Then we'd better...
Take the long way around and check out the well first. Now go!
Ryan swung himself back into the main body of the truck. Needing no second bidding, Baron Silas Hunter gunned the engine into life once more, slamming his foot down and putting the gears through torturous changes in his eagerness to get the vehicle up to its maximum speed. He slewed off the road and took the short route across the dusty but hard-packed earth of the Texas desert, driving the wag over terrain that an ancient vehicle with poor suspension wasn't meant to take.
Assuming that we arrive in one piece, will we be able to see straight enough to aim and fire at any particular enemies?
That'll be nothing if we can do this without breaking any bones.
JB joined Ryan at the front of the wag, both men standing firm against the back of the cab, using the metal stanchions to support themselves as they fixed their gaze on the well and refinery buildings, which were approaching at rapid speed.
Seems quiet enough. Too quiet. I can't see anyone moving. Or is it just these damn spectacles?
You need glasses, and I've just got one eye. I'm between us, we should be able to see if there's some fire-blasted activity. I sure as hell can't see anything either.
As they came even closer to the derrick and outbuildings, it became obvious that there was little sign of any work taking place, or of any workmen on site. The Wag came up close to the derrick, and from their position on the back, both Ryan and JB could see that the workers had left the site in a hurry. There were tools and evidence of partially completed work everywhere, discarded and left where they had been dropped.
What do you reckon, JB?
Figure they saw the smoke, ran for the camp. It'd work as a diversion.
You mean they all run for the camp, except those who know that trouble's coming. And then they get a clear run to do whatever they want.
Yep, that's just about the size of it.
The Wag finally came to a halt, and Baron Silas and his set guard scrambled out. Ryan and his group stayed in the rear of the Wag. Silas looked back toward them, half in anger and half in bemusement.
Y'all not doing anything?
Not just yet. First of all, I want to know a few things. How many work on the site?
Baron Silas furrowed his brow and gave Ryan a searching glance before framing an answer. He couldn't see why the one-eyed man wanted to know, and to him it just seemed that they were wasting time.
Guess there's about 200 all told, most of them on the refinery works. On the derrick, I'd say about 50, maybe 60 when there's some heavy construction.
Ryan nodded absently as he took the figure in.
So how many people all told in the camps?
Most of them have got womenfolk with them, some with kids, maybe double that, a little over. What the hell has this got to do with...
It has to do with playing numbers. That's a shitload of people for anyone to sec, let alone a few of your people and just us. And that's also a real easy number to get lost in. Any saboteurs in there are really going to be able to hide easily. Too damn easily.
So why the fuck are you standing there pissing in the wind when there could be some sabotage going on right now?
Because anyone who's up to anything would have heard us arrive. And they'd as sure as shit hear you now. The camp is how far?
Ryan looked around to locate the camp. It was easy to find by searching out the column of smoke that was rising above it. It seemed about a mile off to the southwest.
How long does it take to reach there?
Not long by Wag.
But how do the workers do it?
Silas thought about this.
By foot? I guess it takes about 15 minutes.
JB was staring into the distance toward the camp.
Fire must have been going longer than that, because there's no one in sight. So they're either in the camp or still here.
They?
Whoever's sabotaging the refinery, if that's what's going on.
Mildred climbed down from the Wag, where she was joined by Jack and Dean.
Because they aren't in sight, and they aren't here at the derrick. So if anyone's still around to do a little quick sabotage, then they're at the refinery buildings. It's simple when you think about it.
If it's so simple, then shouldn't y'all be doing something?
That's just what we're about to do.
Ryan dismounted the Wag. JB and the others joined him, until they were all standing on the side of the Wag that faced away from the derrick and toward the refinery, which was a couple of hundred yards distant. The one-eyed man faced his people after a searching glance at the refinery buildings and the maze of pipework that connected the two.
Okay, we don't know the layout, and we don't know what we might be facing, so let's go triple red and stay frosty. JB, you and Dean take the first two buildings, while Mildred and Jack take the other two. Christy and Doc, come with me. We'll split into three and take the pipe sections one at a time. Be very careful. That's a real maze in there, and there's a shitload of places for any cold arts to hide and chill us. We're looking for more than just people. Keep a sharp lookout for any plastics that may be around, and careful of booby traps.
He looked at his companions. They had taken in every word and were ready. He nodded, as much to himself as to anyone else.
Let's go.
They separated into the three groups and headed off, JB and Dean toward the blocks nearest, and Mildred and Jack circling to take in the more distant of the two refinery buildings. The buildings were all alike. Old red brick constructions surfaced in concrete, with old wire reinforcements over window openings that had lost their glass many decades ago. JB and Dean arrived at theirs first, flattening themselves on either side of the open doorway. JB held the Uzi, set to single shot, which he figured was his best option in an enclosed space. Dean had his Browning high power ready. The two fighters exchanged glances, and JB signaled with a brief, almost imperceptible nod. The armorer went first. Turning swiftly, he flung himself into the open doorway, Dean behind covering him. Crouching, JB sought cover and found it behind a large metallic pump, coming up with the barrel of the Uzi resting on top of the metallic structure. His eyes adjusted quickly to the gloom, noting that the running strips of neon that ran the length of the ceiling hadn't been repaired, and that the light that existed within the building came from low-level oil lamps that were used to spotlight the actual work sites in progress. They'd been left burning, suggesting that the evacuation to the camp have been swift and sudden. Dean had reached the same conclusion as he sought cover behind a console that controlled that range of pumps and filters in the building. He listened intently, and like the armorer, was sure that the building was empty.